I want to return to this subject of discernment and just hit that again this week. It's such a powerful thing. And we find in Isaiah 11:3, one of the things about the Spirit of the Lord being upon the servant who is Jesus is that his delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge with the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. And that is a really significant attribute about any leader. Of course, we're talking about the King of Kings here, but it is the picture of good leadership. Because if you're only led by the sight of your eyes and only led by what you hear, you can be deceived and misled. But if you have someone over you or over anything, this always comes down from heaven. Like, heaven is the perfect example of leadership and administration on the earth. And so if we can grasp the model up there and bring that, heaven's relational government and how things are, that is where peace and fruitfulness are. So we want that. We definitely want it in our churches, but we want it in every area that you have authority in and responsibility in, to grasp this. And a person who, and it is this gift of discernment that enables you to live by something that is higher than the earth, that is greater than that, that is truer than that. It's the true light. It's the real thing. And the church has looked at the gift of discernment, and rightly so. It's a very significant, it's one of the gifts of the Spirit, very significant thing, typically under the subject of discerning evil spirits. But discernment is actually very much broader than that. And discernment is ours to have, to receive, to tap into. And so we don't want to live like mere men with our mere minds and our mere emotions and reactions. We want to live by something that is higher. And by living by that, there'll be fruitfulness, there'll be peace, there'll be prosperity, there'll be blessing. And all of you want to be along to any organization, any occupation, your employer. You want this to be there, because when this is in an organization, then good things follow. They come down through that. When there's an absence of this, sooner or later, the prosperity that they may have is temporal, and every evil thing sets in place. So We want to cry out for discernment. We want to have discernment. But discernment, and here's the other catch that the church hasn't been very wise about, is that discernment needs to be, it's for the purpose of helping you know how to function, not for the purpose of judging. And if you're not careful, what you use your discernment for is to judge and to distance yourself from things. We'll talk about the atmosphere someplace, or the spirit that's someplace, or in a group of people, or in an individual. And that's step one. That has some value. But if you just stop there and you use what you feel to judge someone, distance someone, then you're missing the value, because you're not incorporating kingdom responses. You're just using your fleshly response. And then the other trick to this thing is that the value of discern, if you don't discern what you're up against, or you do discern it, but you don't discern your own spirit or what you're functioning in, more than likely, here's what will happen to you, guaranteed. You will move into that spirit to deal with that problem. The very thing that you see and don't like, you'll move into it. This is the eye for the eye and the tooth for the tooth. You assault me, and it's like, so I came back in what? The same thing. I gave them what for? I told them such and such. They acted this way, I acted that way. And we're foolish about this. We'll actually pride ourselves in our fleshly reactions. Would you join me in growing up from that? Let's move on from that. That's not cool. That's not a good thing. When we catch each other in that, let's, you know, smile, go, time to get out of that. Don't do that. It is so easy. I hear other leaders talk about the subject of the religious spirit keeps coming up, and I go, careful. You see it, be careful you don't enter into it to deal with it or to confront it or to address it. So the biggest thing that will help you is that discernment is never for the purpose of judgment. It's for you to understand what you're up against, and then it's your responsibility to tap into kingdom principles. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus act? It's fruit of the Spirit. That's what I need to function in to address this. And so that when we see things with our eye or hear things with our ear, we allow discernment to come, and it can change everything. Couple stories. I know the second story is from a real event. I'm not sure if the first one is, but we heard Danny Silk use this story. A man is driving his new car. I mean, yeah, that's all you have to say. Man with new car. I mean, yeah, I have some guys around here with old cars, and it's still like the sacred, like, don't get this dirty, don't mess with this, and et cetera, et cetera. Or their lawnmowers or whatever else their little precious things are. Okay. And he's driving through a town or whatever, and all of a sudden a little boy comes out between two other cars and throws a brick right at his car, dash, blasts his car with a brick. I mean, that's like... He slams, and the little boy takes off running, and he slams on the brake, jumps out of the car, and starts chasing this little boy down the road and into an alley and back in it. And when he catches up with the little boy turns to him and says, "My brother was in a wheelchair. He fell over this hill, and he needs help. It was the only way I knew to get someone's help." That changes the whole story, doesn't it? You like all the? I mean, even the worst guy is like, "Oh wow, like." Yeah, I get it. I was gonna kick your little butt, you know? If I catch you. Another story. So what was obvious was true, but it wasn't true. You know, it wasn't the rest of it. There was a story, Bill Johnson just recently told this story. A Satanist is converted to Christianity, has a true conversion. A news organization gets a hold and discovers that there's a pastor that is funding with a fair amount of money this man who was previously a Satanist. So they do this expose on the story, and they present it this way, that the pastor was funding him to keep his story alive. Like, here's the reason this pastor's doing. So he can keep the story alive, keep the drama up, you know, use that for his own gain in his ministry. That this ex-Satanist is living in a condo overlooking a golf course, and that he's driving a Lincoln Continental. That was all true. But the money that the pastor was paying him was being used for all of his counseling to deal with his abuse growing up in this Satanist environment. So that the money was for that. The condo was an apartment, and the golf course was a miniature golf course. And the Lincoln Continental was an old car with bumper stickers all over it. Again, it changes the whole thing, doesn't it? So this is why we have to be careful with information. And Bill Johnson also made this comment that's so appropriate in the season we're in, that he said, "I don't believe that people are purposefully deceiving, but they're giving truths or information with an agenda. And when we give truths with agendas, it doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on. We're in this political atmosphere right now. It doesn't matter. Both sides are like equally in that political spirit, and both sides, I look at both sides and going, you're all functioning out of the same thing. Where's the truth? Where's the pursuit of finding the correct leader for our, you know, we're in a presidential race right now. And you see, now we're not going to fix that sitting here on Bethesda Road today. However, we can do this. What are we powerful to do? We're powerful to not tap into that spirit, that thing, or enter into that thing. And Bill Johnson on that subject went on to say that the religious spirit and the political spirit want to impart the gift of suspicion. Never us, but them. See, every time, you've got to be careful how you're giving information about somebody, something, another church, another whatever, wherever you're, you know, for town. What's your agenda? What are you really up to? Well, somebody need to tell them. Maybe, maybe not. And often our evaluation of things is a little less than accurate. But we take this license and that religious spirit, that I know what's right thing, that would be one of the definitions of a religious spirit. I know what's right. I know how to do this right. When you're functioning in that spirit instead of a spirit of humility and a spirit of compassion, a spirit of mercy, you just take it on yourself to help the truth. And it becomes your mission. And it kills, it steals, it destroys. And the enemy loves it. He loves the conflict. It helps us dividing lines. It helps us distance ourselves rather than connecting and finding opportunity for connecting. He said, it reinterprets circumstances which causes a spirit of offense to rise up. Again, that's the atmosphere we're living in, this spirit of offense. Now, again, here's where we get caught up. But if it's the truth, then we don't mind spreading that and making other people offended at the same thing. We're ambassadors. We're preachers. We're, you know, we have a mission. Let's all, here's the truth. We should all have the same reaction. Isn't that disgusting? How many times has someone come to tell you something, information, or tell you about something, and they admit what their agenda is or their reason? They're drawing you in and they're like, don't you agree with me? Don't you think that's how, you know? And if you like don't respond, just like, what? You don't agree with me? You don't think that's, you know, that's how it is? And I pray that the Lord continues as we grow, we see this and go, really just take some time and meditate on this. There's another way to respond to things. There's a kingdom response. I don't have a list of here's how you respond in this situation, but it makes all the difference. And when you, maybe it's just silence. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Just don't step into that thing. You're condoning that. Be quiet. Smile if you don't have wisdom. But let's pray for wisdom, because by speaking wisdom into that, not arguments, that'll make it worse. Not arguments, just a peaceful response, a response that just turns down the fire. It's amazing how much that helps, how much that brings peace, because it doesn't help any of us to be all pumped up about something, find somebody else to agree with us about it, and now we've got two pumped up people. That's how you have heart attacks, man. They say that anger, being angry, and that, you know, that thing, y'all feel that? And I mean, it's a safe place. Can you all acknowledge that when the anger button, you got a little, let's pretend like y'all have a little indicator light. You do. It's your face. That indicates when anger hits. You don't, do you know, you don't have to cheat. Little Shiloh, we're around him all the time. We don't have to teach him how to show he's angry. He got that naturally. And he just looks like he's ready to explode when he's just like, you know, out it comes. No one taught him that. other than his mother, but yeah, she's not here. That feeling, that release, that thing that's in you, that poison that gets released. Just stop and pause and think through the process. You know that thing. You actually can feel it the moment it gets released. It can get released and just have it just thinking about something. You can be doing your thing, doing what you're doing, be up trimming trees or teaching or being in the house or, you know, traveling, and all of a sudden a memory and a thought and boom, 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 that thing that it gets released inside of you. Do you know that that's really unhealthy for you? The more that goes off and releases that, it's like that thing about get it out. There's a thing that gets released when you allow yourself to get angry and just allow that is not healthy for you. It's not good for you. So you don't want to practice that. You want to keep that at a minimal. There's an anger that is righteous. There is, but most of the stuff that we experience is like we could do with a lot less of it. Agreed? And it's affecting your health, just in case that's an added motivation. I'm telling you. This is a real thing. And this is the kind of thing, this political spirit of religion that is definitely in the church. It's one of the legal spirits. Two of the legal spirits. They're allowed to stay in because they feel so righteous. You get on that thing, like, you know, that disgust that kind of rises up about the right and the wrong of life. You know that thing? And we're ridiculous. We pat each other on the back. Oh, yeah. That's disgusting. Did you hear about that? Did you see that person? Da, 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 you know. And we think that's kingdom, and it's not. It's not. Does it seem at all, does it sound at all like, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son? Does it any way, shape, or form, does it fit into that? Square peg, round hole, like. It is exciting to step away from that stuff. Your health improves, things improve, your favor will improve. I like favor. Brady shared last week. Was it just last week? No, the week before. Follow your favor. I said, Brady, I'm telling you, this word will stay around for a while. You watch and see. He was preaching to himself, and it was good, and he followed it, and wow, like things have been happening, which is usually what's true of us. We're up here preaching to ourselves. Oh, well, it's how we get saved. I don't know how the rest of you are going to make it, but you know. So that participating in that, it just breeds in. And so if we can come with this other spirit, we can calm things down. You'll be more powerful than you think. Because that other thing, it's not. It's just content. It just makes everybody sick. It just makes everyone sick and not feel good. So when that offense rises up, it mirrors the prophetic anointing. And this is where the church gets caught up in that. Like there's this prophetic anointing that feels this righteous indignation, is declaring what's right and wrong in life, and it is actually a spirit of offense, and it's a counterfeit anointing. Just because you have juice about something, like that feeling, that unction, just because that's there doesn't mean you're functioning on the good stuff. Just because you have that, that's not about functioning on the good stuff. That burning conviction, like somebody needs to do something. You start saying things like, we ought to, somebody should, da, da, da. Those are all bad symptoms, because the Spirit of the Lord doesn't even talk like that. The Spirit of the Lord speaks to you and tells you what to do, and it's just like, I feel the Lord saying to such and such, It looks different. It feels different when a person is truly following the Spirit and bringing an answer and a solution rather than a problem. So back to this thing about using discernment. You come around, we can use a general term of our households or our the people we're close to, and you're away and you come back and all of a sudden you're around this person that you're actually close to, and they're coming at you, pop, 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 like accusation, comment, something comes. Discern, it's important, discern what that is. And then make a choice. You have a choice. You do not have to become like that to interact with this person. This is the biggest lie right here. I hope you get it. You do not have to enter into that thing to relate to that person. I don't. If you're getting accused, you don't have to bring it back to survive. Yeah, but I'm going to get walked. No, I didn't say don't stay powerful. I just said don't enter into that thing. Or have you ever come into an atmosphere, a person or a group of people where there's real tangible fear? And sometimes when fear hits you, it actually manifests as anger. Get angry. It's a funny response. It's a funny thing, but I've encountered that. All of a sudden, I'm angry. I feel angry, so there's fear. I've encountered fear, so I need to discern. Okay, what is this? Then I need to ask this question: what do I truly do here? Now, sometimes these things are boom, boom, boom. They're happening so fast, but if you exercise the right, I guarantee you, things will change and you'll start to get it right. You may go home a bunch of times going, "Dah, I fell into it again. I knew not to bite. I knew not to respond. I knew not to come back with that." So you acknowledge it, like, "Lord, that was wrong. I know there's a better way. Grace, give me grace." Pretty soon you'll start getting victories. I mean, you go after things like this and you truly ask the Holy Spirit to help you, He cannot sit in heaven. He has to come to you. It's in his DNA. Because you have his DNA. You are a son. You are a daughter. He has to help you. A sincere cry, he has to respond. He cannot help himself. And so you discern what this is, then you choose what spirit you're going to get into, how you're going to function. It's amazing if you'll stay quiet for a moment, that person will often, if they're in something bad, and this, it's often loved ones, it's people, often it's people that you're close to, but not necessarily, it can be anywhere. Just don't get into that. Find the right spirit. Let's practice this. And it actually is often a great opportunity to witness or to bring something into that. Turn with me to James chapter 3. It's so powerful. We had gone over this before. And it has this, I was sharing it in the midst of talking a lot about wisdom. And in verses 13, starting in 13, just reading the words, there was an impartation. It helped. Like, here's what wisdom looks like. Here's what the wisdom from above looks like. And once you read this, then you can really identify how much you're not in the spirit, when you're not in the spirit, just when you're not in the spirit of wisdom. When you're anxious, when you're, you know, trying to figure out something, when you're angry that people aren't cooperating. Anybody else start to get angry because people around you aren't cooperating? My life stinks because of the people that are, you know, I'm walking with. You can go there real easy. That's illegal for me. It's illegal for you. Because that is a dead end street, I'm telling you. If you want your life to stink more, just stay there. But when you start to you just change and you find, okay, this feels frustrating because my husband won't cooperate with this, or my wife won't cooperate with this, or my children definitely won't cooperate with this, or my church won't cooperate with this. I feel it, they don't feel it. I mean, we're always all connected to people. And the people you're connected to can frustrate you. Can we just say that? Yeah, it's true. It can. And the reality is, it's not just here and it's not just in your life. It's also in the life of some of the most successful people that you see. The reality is, they have to deal with all the same things, but they made different choices in it. And so it's discerning, okay, what's my real frustration? What can I do? Because I can't control people. That's illegal. Even if I'm able to, then somebody should put their hand on me. Because it's illegal to control people. But I can control myself. I make choices for myself. Verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. So remember, what's the difference between meekness and weakness? Weakness is no strength. Meekness is strength controlled. Meekness is a big, powerful engine that's able to quietly idle. And that power can be tapped into, but it's the power is there. It's just chose. This is not the time to be full throttle. So meekness has a whole different leg. It's strength controlled. A good model of a state highway patrol, they often model this the best, unless they're fleshly, but I admire most of them just have this calm, cool, they walk up to your car, can I see your driver's license, insurance, you're in a lot of trouble, they don't flinch, they just calmly ask you for stuff, you may be on your way to jail, they won't flinch, they go back to their car. They run your license and you're a fugitive from something. I mean, you know. Now, I know that's not always the case, but what is that? That is this confidence because they are totally powerful. That's meekness. Because they know all of the laws behind them. We're talking in correct, righteous situations. So they can be calm and peaceful. That is truly whether that's always true or not in the world, that is the calling that we have. True wisdom calls you to this meekness. Stop fighting everything. You don't have to campaign and fight and kick against the stones. You can, a spirit of meekness, when you are in true wisdom, wisdom is at work. When you're following favor opens doors. You can lose the frustration because God is for you. You can give up the hopelessness. You can let go of the hopelessness because God will make a way. That's what's neat about these little testimonies we're sharing about just in the areas of finance and provision. We're celebrating. Look, we're doing this and exercising faith here, and this stuff starts coming following behind us. We're like, where did that come from? I don't know. These signs will follow those who believe. Instead, when we're pursuing ministry and different things that are good, we're trying to get that stuff out ahead of us. We're trying to make that stuff happen. And it always has a funny feel to it. Even if you can accomplish it or get it, it's not the same as a person who has this stuff following them. I come here and stuff follows. I step into the room and it gets peaceful. You start believing that, and you'll be able to step into some of these really awkward situations and atmospheres. You do discern the atmosphere in a room, but what if you're carrying something that supersedes it? Then you can stay calm, and you don't have to go there. You can bring peace into chaos. You can bring love into hate. You can bring joy into sadness and hopelessness, because you carry that. You genuinely carry that. Let's get back to James here. Verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. So what, in conclusion, don't tolerate that in your life. It affects you. Don't tolerate bitterness. Don't tolerate envy. And don't function in that and then boast that you're being righteous. Verse 15, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there, even if it's in the church. Even if it's in a good place. If that stuff exists, it comes through the whole organization. It comes through the whole family. Let the peace start at the kitchen table. Let the joy begin with the people you rub shoulders with. Let the kingdom qualities and fruit of the Spirit, let them manifest in the most intimate places and the most secret places, so they can manifest in external places. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, every confusion and every evil thing are there. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. So as you're functioning and interacting in any situation, look for this. It's neat. It gives you a choice. It helps you go, oh, am I peaceful? No. I better just wait till I get peaceful before I make that call or send that text or post that thing on Facebook. Just hold for a second. Is it pure? What's really driving you? Is it gentle? Is it willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy? This is that life without an agenda. We don't like people coming at us with agendas, so don't do it. And we have more agendas than we think we do. Just take a look. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. It's sown peacefully by those who make peace. And if we can get in peace, I believe that fruitfulness is really going to come and begin to manifest around us. So when you discern accusation, make a choice. Don't counter with that. Find something else to respond in. You'll find the thing will go away. If you accuse in return, you just keep it alive. If you tell me the story, I might even say, I get it. I understand. But if we want to change things and see things truly change, then we'll find the right spirit to respond in. If you come around manipulation or witchcraft, you don't have to judge. Just don't participate. Just say no. You can just say no. No thanks. Someone's, and that's all around. People, we use manipulation and don't even realize we're doing it. To get people to do things, get people to help somebody else that we think, this shows up. It shows up in marriages. We'd like to think it's never in it, not in my marriage. So don't do it, but you don't have to respond to it, and you don't have to get into it to counter somebody else that's close to you that's in it. You're not a victim. If you encounter fear, don't enter into it to fight it. Find peace, find joy. We need victories in this. Only the Holy Spirit can help us. If you're around someone that's angry, Proverbs says, be careful being around an angry man. He will definitely affect you. That will get on you. Like, beware, be careful about it. Being around injustice, someone talking a lot about injustices and really campaigning for it, and sometimes that's us. That's not a good, don't get into it. Don't get into the same thing to try to counter that. It can come in the form of praise. Praise that is actually flattery. Discern it, discern what it is. Sometimes people will give you gifts. There are gifts that are free, true freely given gifts. Then there are gifts that are not freely given. I give you permission to reject gifts in a gracious way. Every once in a while in my life, I have done that. Because if a gift is given with strings attached, don't do it. But I might offend them. How they respond to that, if you handle it well, is their problem, not yours. But I hate seeing people, well, I had to. Don't talk like that. Stop. What you mean is, I don't want to look bad. Well, shame on you. Sometimes doing the right thing can make you look bad. And we may not be afraid of people per se, but we are afraid of looking bad. In our culture, we're at an all-time epidemic of being afraid to look bad. And this, right? Be brave. Be brave. We were going to do that song at practice. Summer and Kenny were putting song lists together and pulled it out, and then we decided not to do the song. And I was working down at Brady and Maria's, and little Aaliyah was walking around singing the song, Brave. And I just was quick, and like, we had replaced the song. I said, no, we need to go back to the song. We've got to sing that song. I just knew. It was just very simple. Oh, I need to know. And there's the baby flock speaking to me again. They just always have a word for me. They don't know it, in their innocence. Be brave. Like, there's just choose. Choose to be brave. The Holy Spirit will fill you. And beware and be careful. Let's be careful about information that is agenda driven. Information that is agenda driven. Beware. There's stuff that comes with that. And beware. You participate in it by repeating it and functioning out of that. Information that's agenda driven is the rest of the story is missing. It's the, it's like the stories I was telling you at the beginning. They're true, but they're not true. There's a whole nother thing that makes it changes the whole meaning, the whole definition. So I know this has been a good subject for us to look at and pause and talk about. So I wanted to take two Sundays at least to talk about that. Use your discernment. Never judge. It's not given to you to judge anybody. It's given you to discern what you're up against, and then secondly, use that same discernment to discern what spirit you're in. And then there's not a book about what to do with all the scenarios. You need the Holy Spirit then and ask him what is the correct spirit? And sometimes we have some good examples to follow, and sometimes we don't. But if we're all continue to grow old using the same excuses and the same reasons why, well, of course you have to. We're not growing. We're not being transformed. We're not going from glory to glory. We're just stuck in our stuff. and nothing gets changed. So this is like this continual, will never stop this changing process, seeing and becoming more like Jesus. He said that he'll perfect in us. He who called you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, the calling comes, and then the process of perfection. He's always at work on you. Until when? Until his day. Until then. So it's okay to say, I'm in process, and it's healthy to realize I'll never be out of the process of acknowledging things, of seeing things, something. If nothing's showing up in my life, I'm going to just be happy and, you know, be happy. But if stuff shows up and I go, what is that? I'm all cranked up again. What happened? What's going on with me? I've got feelings that they're not good indicators. What's going on? And I go after that. That's the thing that there's grace to go after. I go after it till I see it eradicated in my life. Never graduate. It's one of the problems with our education culture. Is that here, I got the certificate. I know everything there is to know about nursing or about this or that. That's bad. You teachers, continuing education, like there's wisdom in that. Because it's a pain in the neck and it costs a lot, but it's good to stay in this place where you're always learning and you're continually learning, because it's not about arriving. It's about always tweaking that and getting better. Why, if the world gets that, does the church not get that? Like, it's okay to say, oh, wow, I'm just in process, man. I've been here, here, and here, but I got there, there, and there to go yet. And it's okay. It's okay. The Lord's working. He's perfecting me. He's working in me until the day of Jesus Christ. So don't be all laid out, you know, depressed on the floor because you realize you're not perfect yet. I know some of you, you know, you're pretty close, but you, you know.
Let me add to that. Kevin came down the other day.
Test, Phyllis.
They can hear me very well.
I was
in the garden and we were picking beans when Kevin came, and Kevin said that the Lord has been talking to him about being a garden. And as we're talking about the garden, which the Lord has used a garden because I'm in it a lot, to speak to me a lot of times. One of the things that Kevin started doing, which was cool, was my bean patch is big. It's producing fruit. But there are some weeds growing up, and because he's not learned in picking beans on which ones to pick, he said, here, I'll just pull some of these weeds. And as we started talking, I said, one of the things about your patch is that when you first plant a seed and it starts to grow, weeds grow really strong at the same time. And so you have to work at it to get those weeds out of there so that it doesn't snuff the seed and the plant. But once that plant gets closer to maturity, there's some weeds will pop up, but it doesn't overtake it. And because it is at a good place. And I just want to say that the Lord is planting this seed of discernment. He's bringing it to our attention. So don't be surprised if you are aware of a lot of weeds in your life, because they're going to pop up with the seed of discernment, and you're going to find probably more weeds than you do the plant. Okay? You're going to be aware of it. Just pull it out. Don't be condemned. Then it'll mature and you'll find fruit. Don't even expect the fruit yet. Don't even expect the fruit. It'd be stupid for me to plant beans and expect fruit off of a small vine. It would be dumb. And so the enemy comes in and says, hey, you got that planted, you should be walking in it. Well, that's not, it's not even feasible. So as is this seed of discernment, and I know a lot of you can picture this in your mind of where this hits you, as it gets sown, let nurture it, and then you're going to get a bunch of weeds. Start pulling them out. You're going to find yourself responding in the wrong response or in the same response that somebody's coming at you. Start pulling them out, and don't be condemned for it until you become greater than that thing.
Amen. You can just hold on to that. Let's pray today, and I just want to give opportunity for you to come up front to get prayer for this. It's a big deal, and some of the situations we're in are difficult to discern. They're challenging because our flesh is involved, and you know, the hardest ones are the personal ones, and mostly they're all personal, aren't they? The ones that were really, they're up close and personal. They're in your face. You live with them. They're right there. They're in your household. They're at work. They're at the people that are very close. And we do need wisdom. We need to apply wisdom to this. This isn't just a cut and dry thing. If we can deal with this with wisdom, we can see the very things that are bad get transformed. How many of you would like to see some of the areas that are they really can oppress you and bother you a lot? Or let me say this, some of the things that are really bothering you, this is number one, there needs to be truth. You need to really see the truth, discernment, spiritual gift, discernment. And then you need to hear from the Spirit what spirit you need to be in to respond correctly, to see redemption, because hopelessness is not in this scenario unless you let it be. Hopelessness in these cases is only true if you believe that. Hopelessness is only true, it only has power if you believe that it's hopeless. But if you can get the courage to realize that kingdom principles, love is an amazing power, it's a power tool. Forgiveness is a power tool. Functioning, walking after the Spirit, they're power tools to bring this stuff down. Getting in those same spirits is not powerful. It may feel like it has a lot of juice, but it's not powerful. It doesn't change anything. You just... What do we call head-on collisions? Do we say somebody won? No. We go, two people got killed today in a car accident because it was a what? It was a head-on collision. No one wins in those. No one wins in those. Those, boom. But Jesus comes and he wants to say to us, use discernment. Discernment give you, it will open the door for you to win, for things to change. So I'm going to turn some music on. But if you want specifically prayer, like if you're serious about hearing, like getting out of your own understanding in this, I would encourage you, don't approach this from your own abilities, your own understanding, but truly go, I need true spiritual discernment to see what's really going on. Why do I keep getting caught up in this? Why does this have so much power? It bugs the heck out of me. I was talking to Rob about something personal, how I was responding when I was in a certain situation. And I was like, that thing still has power over me. When I'm around a certain attitude, around a certain thing, it wins, like it shuts me down. So something's wrong with that. So what's the truth? So I need to discern what is really there, and then how to overcome that. I can't continue to live my life running from things, avoiding situations because they make me feel bad. What's that? That's not victory. That's a cat and mouse game, you know? That's not kingdom. So if you want prayer, come up. I'm gonna turn something.